I think I got a call, man, that seems to tell me that she's with a minister. Or maybe it's not in Bumi, somebody else. I thought that she said it's in Bumi. Okay, fine. Who else are we missing from the department? None. And then from the Electoral Commission, then we have got Sai Mamabulo. He's an acting chief electoral officer. We'll have to get over this thing of Hollywood. And then I think the commissioners must deal with that matter. We can't keep on acting and acting and acting. We want preparations for elections very soon. The DA wants an early election. So we should not go there while we are acting. Yes. And then we have got the acting chief financial officer, Esther Devel. This is almost like Hollywood again. People are acting there. And then the government printing works. Then we have got Tati Moyo. Unfortunately, he's an acting chief executive officer as well. The DG is not supposed to interfere with the IEC. He must not put his leg in the IEC. He must leave it independent. And then we have got Joe Engelbrecht, SDC, he's in a permanent position, General Manager for Operations and Production. Then we have got Josephine Mayer, Chief Financial Officer. Honorable members, among ourselves, Honorable Melder apology, Honorable S.J. Nkomo also has apologized. And I'm not aware of any other apology. So whoever is not here, possibly then we'll expect that they'll be coming. Otherwise, then we will know right at the end that they would have been absent. It's a point of before. A point of before. Just after apologies. There's nothing between apologies and the Department of Home Affairs. What is that? Can you raise it? Is it Honorable Sauber or Honorable Shane? Both of you. You're going to speak together. No. Can't happen.
No, we can speak together because EFF is in court demanding Parliament to meet in Zuma today. And later today, EA is tabling the motion in the House. So
yeah.
We can speak together today.
Okay.
No, I was just saying that before we start our meeting, we need to clarify two issues that were in front of the committee, the issue of the Minister Malusi Gigaba still pending, and the issue, because now I can see that we are deviating from the program that we've given as a committee. You remember last week we were supposed to receive the report from those provinces that are still outstanding. So now in order for us to run smooth, we need to be clarified where are we in terms of that. I'm not fighting, I'm just raising a point of procedure.
Honorable Hussein.
Chair, I just want to raise, are we going to get an opportunity to discuss this program? I don't see it on the agenda.
No. This is still a draft, and then it's for your information, then possibly next week, then we will talk to you. It's not urgent, I think it's for the next test.
And the second thing, Chair, is related to what my colleague had raised, is I'd just like to hear from you whether you've had any response from Minister Gigaba. And I wrote to you requesting a copy of the letter that you wrote to him. And I ask that if you would get Eddie perhaps to circulate it to the members of the committee. Thank you very much.
Okay. The letter, I think, would I'll ask Eddie to send it to you. You want it, and then I'll ask Eddie to send it to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My assumption was in order. My assumption is that the issue mentioned the Minister of Gigaba in connection with naturalization or the naturalization process. The position of the agency is one. All the documents that we requested should be submitted to the committee. Secondly, we've got to get hold of the minutes, approve the minutes as in any other meeting, and thereafter find out from the department as to when they are going to table those documents, because we need those documents. So after those documents have been tabled, if then we can discuss the issue whether we've got to have the minister or not. Thank you.
Told that he was not available that day, that we have called him to come. So that ANC caucus is remained an ANC caucus. So now we need an update of the committee with how far have we gone with that matter as a committee.
Yes, I think the principle is that we have not yet received a response from it up to now. We have not received a response up to and then, but what I'm hearing is that Honorable Gumede is speaking to the meeting of the 27th, it's 27th of June, where certain documentation was required from the department, which needs to actually form the body of what has transpired and what is there that possibly, if I'm hearing correctly, what forms the point of dispute that requires the minister to come and answer. That's what I'm hearing. But I guess we have said is that it's not the last meeting. The last meeting is going to be the adoption of a report that needs to be submitted to the House Chair. Thank you very much. Do you want to do the follow-up or not? Do the same?
Chair, you have not answered the question you put before me. So I'd like to hear, get the answer to that question. Secondly, Chairperson, I don't understand why you want to change the decision that we've already taken. I asked you last week whether or not you have communicated with the minister, you've indicated you have. The reason why you communicated with the minister was to bring him here. That is the decision you took. There was the previous decision which is in dispute about summoning the minister, and we'll deal with that dispute when the minutes are before us. But the impression I am getting, Chair, with respect to you and your colleagues from the ANC, that you are doing everything in your power to prevent the minister from appearing before the committee. And when you do those things, you create the impression to the public that you, your colleagues in the ANC and the minister have something to hide. There's nothing to hide. You would have come here a long time ago to put the facts on the table to say this is what I've done. But instead, he's afraid to come here. And you are protecting him, and your colleagues from the ANC are also protecting him. Now, if he hasn't done anything wrong, why won't you come here? If he hasn't done anything wrong, why won't you summon him to come here? If he hasn't done anything wrong, why are your colleagues from the ANC trying to protect him? You must stop this thing. Because you're a member of parliament here, Chair, like all of us. We are here to protect the interests of the country and the people. Bring the minister here and let him answer those questions.
Okay. Okay. To come. Thank you, Chair. I just want to all of us to understand one thing. Honorable members from DA and EFF, we have agreed about the issue of minister to come here. And we have agreed that there's a list of things that DG is supposed to give us. Then we came to the conclusion that DG must give us those gifts when it's ready, and then before we can go for the meeting. For sure, you know that we were supposed to meet him last week Friday, and because of no response, because of other commitments, we are saying that, colleagues, let us be fair enough to all of us and to proceed with whatever we'll be doing, then the chairperson is not denying that he will do that when necessary.
I thank you very much. You had your hand up, Mark?
No, no, no. Thank you very much. The issue of the minister. It was tabled. However, Chair, let's proceed.
Order.
And go to our agenda, because no one is really protecting whoever. No one. I'm really disputing the fact that the DA thinks that some of us, we are trying to defend the minister, and we are not defending anybody. And we alluded to the fact that we need information that is authentic, that we can be able to produce. So we cannot understand what they are saying now. So, Chairperson, can we go to the agenda? Because you never defended anyone here. I thank you.
You are done.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, the accountable minister here is the Minister of Home Affairs. And we checked with our legal department, we found that the accounting officer, the politically accountable minister here, is the Minister of Home Affairs. The accounting officer administratively is the DG. And unless there is another process, we are not going to accept this. What we need to do now is to proceed with the meeting. And therefore, Chairperson, I move that we proceed with this meeting with the understanding that all documentation that forms proof of whatever is going to be tabled when it is ready, and then the accountable minister should come to the committee. If we need another minister, let's get to the house and debate the issue. But for now, I move and then I propose that we vote on it so that we can continue.
Okay. I think then we will need to collect all that information, the DGs, and to make sure that information is promised on the meeting of the 27th, then comes up, and so that whenever somebody else comes in front of us, we have got all the information that we require to base our interrogation to the public. And then can we do so? Can we do so? So that we don't find ourselves actually trying to run ahead of an activity that the information that we require to interrogate and then is not yet in our hands. Can we move in that direction? Honorable Sir?
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Chair. Yeah. Chair, we must also make it clear as a committee members that we must not be robbed by the AEC. We are members of the committee.
Yeah.
And some of us are not sleeping in the committee.
Yeah.
And we know those decisions that were taken by the committee. Correctly so to say, we as committee we decided that you must call Minister Kigaba because he is a former minister to come before the committee. I don't remember changing this decision as a committee. Coming here now trying to duck and dive to say that let us got documentation instead of the minister. We have a duty as members of parliament to call everyone to come and account. So that decision is still standing, Chair. So you must be consistent as well as the Chair. Because the last time when you were supposed to come as the Minister, Kigaba, we were told that he was not available. So now we are saying as a committee, how far have you gone getting Minister Kigaba? To be told now to say we want documents only, that is not fair. And we must make it very clear that we still need Minister Kigaba to come and account about what he has done as a former minister of our government.
Okay.
Minister Mkhize came here and she told us whatever she was telling us. But in terms of that act that Minister Kigaba used, it's him who must come and account and verify in front of the committee. Going forward, Chair, if you remember very well how did this thing started, it was a letter from the House Chair colleague to say there are Gupta emails that need to be investigated. And it's a resolution of the House as well. So we still have to be clarified by you and your office. How are we going to move forward in terms of that letter that was from the House Chair colleague? Because this is not the only issue that is needed to be tackled before the committee. There are other emails. If you remember very well, one of the meetings, the Honorable Fitlin was distributing those emails. There are series of emails that need to be tackled by the
But
Chair, it's your duty.
Yes.
It is your duty because it's all over the country. It's your duty as a Chair. So what I'm saying, my point, Chair, is that this is not the only issue that Minister Kigaba must come before the committee, but there are other issues that we need to go through as a committee of former affairs.
Okay. 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 I think we have made all our points that we have made. And I actually want to start with the three entities that are here today, because you're going to have a problem again towards 1 o'clock that you're going to end up saying that you want others to come back and answer questions that they could not answer before 1 o'clock. And then we need to actually get to this particular agenda item. And then what we say is that a meeting of naturalization is still coming. You honourable members, you have requested information, and then the information, not all of it has arrived, because others have to be sourced from the relevant people that are holding it, like Mossad and the CIPRO and the rest. And so I think is that the proposal that has been made, or the position that has been made, I think it just sounds fair. that let's have that and have the body of information in front of you, so that whoever you want to appear in front of you, at least you've got all the information that you require. And I would like then to say that if the department can speed it up wherever it is possible, that you know, it's within the next week or two, that information should be should have been collated, all of it, and sent to us, especially the remaining information as proof of investment and the proof of employment, the proof of a donation, and then any proof of tax paying, whatever. And then if that information can be in front of us, so that then we are able to ask whoever you want to be in front of you, if you still feel that you have got at some point for somebody else, over and above those that have come up here to come and ask, then we should be having all that information in front of us. Can we do it that way?
I agree with you that we must proceed, and I'd like for us to proceed. Let's just deal with this just one issue. The issue is not about the documentation and the information, and that's fine. We can allow the department to bring that information. The issue really is whether or not we are going to ask the government to appear before the committee. And that's the issue that you need to deal with. And if the answer to that is yes, then you must answer when. If the answer is that no, then the ANC must say, no, we don't want Gigaba to come here. Mm. They must just put it on the table up front. Mm. Then at least the public knows that you don't want him to come here. Mm. Then we know where we stand on each other.
Okay.
But coming with this story about accountable
minister,
okay. These are all delaying tactics. I mean, we're not stupid. We can see what's going on.
Mm.
Put the facts on the table and say, as the ANC, we don't want Minister Gigaba to come here because we suspect he's done something wrong.
Okay.
We're going to cover it up.
Okay.
Say that. Have the courage to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's hear that with Raputi that followed by Gumede.
I think the only minister of Home Affairs here is Professor Kingwin Kinte. And he is the one who will be able to come, and he came. And whatever that you want from the former minister is not going to be accepted here. And also we want authentic documents, not the emails that were sought out by whoever and be brought here. We want emails that whatever information that comes, it should come from the office of the chairperson. I thank you.
Chairperson, every party has received this agenda now. If these parties wanted to discuss this matter, they should have approached the secretary and said, okay, secretary, we want this matter to be discussed, and then the secretary would have come to the chairperson and arrangements would have been made. Now, what they want is not part of the agenda. What the ANC therefore
said, they want it on the agenda.
Therefore
say that.
No. You've got to be clear about your process.
The ANC doesn't want it.
We retired.
Honorable Hussein, I think it's advice to protect you to speak until you complete the agenda. Allow the other honorable member to speak. I think we just need to get off this particular debate because it is. I think it is very clear what needs to happen. Honorable Gumede.
The agenda has been sent to everyone. And all I am saying is this, that we continue with the agenda as we received it last week, and I move, and I need a second on this matter, because we cannot deal with the matter as if we are in issue. Let us follow meeting procedure. And meeting procedure demands that now I move that we follow the agenda as stated, because we are all given enough time to look at the agenda and respond in whatever way we wanted to. And therefore I urge the chairperson to invite a seconder and we vote on this matter. Thank you.
I'm sure I don't.
Yes, I second that we must proceed with the agenda that is before us. I thank you.
Okay. Can we then move?
Attended.
Honorable Sauber.
Chair, I propose that the course where the chair of the committee, you must give direction. You must not just be managed by the agenda in front of us. And you must not be threatened to be told there's an agenda in front of us. We are not kids there. We are members of parliament elected to be here and speak about the issues that are affecting the people on the ground. So I'm appealing to your good office to give us direction.
Okay. Let's not keep here.
Can I speak, Chair?
Let's not keep.
Can
no,
I speak, Chair?
Yeah.
Because I can do better what she's doing. She
no,
must not think that she has a
monopoly
to treat
you. You are protected procedure.
Yeah, thank you. You must make it very clear that you have treatment as well. So you must not be treated as such. So, Chair, I'm saying today, we are not children here. We can't come and be told that there's an agenda in front of us. What we're supposed to do, we have a right to raise any issue here to speak about, because what we are raising is not our own thing. It's the thing that we decided in this committee. If ANC want to protect those ministers, they must just tell the country. But Minister Kigaba, he must not come in front of Home Affairs. Because Minister Kigaba gave Gupta's the early naturalization.
Okay.
As this committee, we want him to come before the committee to clarify those things. Why did he give this corrupt foreign family the naturalization to come and loot our state coffers?
Right.
That's what we want from him.
Okay.
So,
okay,
Chair,
okay.
Let me just remind this committee and these members of the ANC. Charles Chair, who happens to be a member of ANC, has issued a letter to say each and every committee that have Gupta emails must talk about those things. Otherwise, this ANC is defying the House Chair. And tomorrow is the Chief Whip's Forum. I'm going to raise it.
Okay.
To say ANC members are also defying the House Chair project. So it must be known. We must not come to be treated as if we don't know how to work here.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, and then I'll plead with yourselves that we proceed with the meeting. You see, the thing that the agenda that is in front of us is always an agenda that it is approved by the chair of chairs. And the office of the chair of chairs knows exactly what is in front of this committee today here. And that's why then the agenda that is in front of us becomes important. That discussing any other thing, then it is for the meeting. We actually just include the Electoral Commission and government printing work for today's meeting. There's a process that we have to undertake to make sure that the Office of the House Chair approves it and is aware that that is what's going to happen today. Because the Parliament has to take responsibility for people that are within this premises. If ever anything happens to them, then it should be known why they are in this particular area. And then now, to say that the agenda item is not authoritative, I don't think it is 100% correct. And I think honorable members, we need to proceed with today's agenda item. We can't speak endlessly.
Yes,
and then I've indicated the honorable members that let's collate that information, and then let's have the information in front of us, and then let's take decisions. If you take any decision as a committee, you know, on matters, you know, it's emanating from all the documentation that you require. Because there's a reason why you wanted those documents. You did not just want those documents for the sake of wanting documents. Because people wanted to interrogate those documents and see whether there is any signs of wrongdoing or signs that shows that certain things have not happened. And then we should then have those particular documents. And then if you take any decision that anybody has been invited, you'll be taking that decision, and then those particular persons then will come as in terms of your own decision. But the fact of the matter is that when you invite people to come and stay in front of you, then you must be very clear what it is that you are inviting them to be in front of you. Unlike people that are just ordinarily accounting to you, those that are not accounting to you, when you invite them, there must be real something that you really need them to come and take part. Not necessarily just for the sake of exercising power of saying we can invite anybody to come when you have got nothing in front of you. So
the document you requested then must come to your hand, and then if there is any need for anybody to come here, then you'll take the decision, and then people will come and appear in front of you. I really want to step off this particular item now, honorable member. Because I don't think there is any progress that we are making, and then we have said all what we have to say, and then there is nothing else that is being said other than a repetition of what we have said many times before.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, when situations are like this, you've got to stick to meeting procedures. And meeting procedures demand that we move, we have a seconder, and then if there is a counter motion, they counter the motion, and then they get a seconder, and we vote. That is the position
I have
of the negotiation. Thank you.
Well, the motion that has been put here was that we proceed with today's agenda, and seconded by Honorable Rafi.
Yeah, Chair, I have a motion. I have a motion now. I'll put it on the table.
Yeah.
And then we will vote also. The motion that I'm moving in this committee is that we summon Minister Gigaba to come here and explain his involvement in granting citizenship to the Bhutans. That's my motion. And I want us to vote on it.
But remember that, you see, if you are not countering this motion says now we must proceed with this one.
Then now
we can't go to that motion of yours. Because now this motion says, if you don't counter it, it says you must go now to the agenda items.
Okay.
Then we can't put another motion. Because then it's not on the agenda.
No, there's no rule that says I can't put another one. You must show me where does it say so. You can't decide to take only the ANC's motion. Put the motion if you have the courage. Put it on the table now. Let's deal with it. Don't protect your ANC guys.
Then the motion. No, honourable members. I think we need to deal with our matters here in a proper manner.
This is what happens when you try to prevent things from happening here.
Not to
deal with it properly, then you won't have
to. You're not sure this meeting is ready. You have a chair.
Yes. Can you proceed with the meeting of today?
We want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
We want to proceed with the meeting of today.
Did you home address, can you be ready?
Chair, we want to proceed with the meeting of today. The issues that are in front of us on the agenda is very important, Chair. But we cannot proceed.
Are you countering the motion that we should proceed with
please
the agenda?
Don't try to be my spokesperson. I have my mouth to speak.
No.
I'm saying, Chair, we want to proceed with the agenda today. Correctly so. The issues that are in front of us are very important. We want to receive those reports. But you are saying they are outstanding matters that the committee has decided on. The only thing that you must do as the Chair is to say, when are you going to call Minister Kikaba? That's all. Don't deviate to say you want documentation. Documentation can be presented, but you want Kikaba and as a resolution of the committee. And Chair, I said to you, please be consistent, because we were supposed to have Minister Kikaba a long time ago, and we were told by your office that he is not available. So just proceed in that way to say when he is going to be available. That's all. Then we can proceed with the meeting. So trying to allow Gumede to confuse this meeting about the procedures that are not even proceduralized, we are not going to allow the change. We are not ANC members here. I'm an EFF member, there's a DA, there's an ANC. So we must also respect that. If Gumede got a mandate from his political party, he must not come and impose those positions here. Let us respect one another.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's becoming now a norm in this committee that we discuss an issue that is not on the agenda. It's in bedtime now. And in the past 2 weeks, we had to start our meetings after 11 o'clock. And then we don't get any chance now to get presentations. If we get them, we are unable now to answer questions. And becoming alone, I think Chairperson, as a chairperson, we have got the right to make the ruling. As I always say, even the last week I did say that at 11 o'clock, when we didn't even touch the agenda until 11:30. Please, Chairperson, make a ruling and call the meeting. I also move the motion. I also support the motion of moving forward to the agenda. Thank you very much. Agenda items, shall not items. We discuss issues which are not on the agenda items for 3 successive weeks. Thank you, Chairperson.
I therefore, honourable members, want to move to the agenda and call upon the Director General of Home Affairs to take us forward. Thank you very much.
Chair, I put a motion that I asked you to deal with. You dealt with the ANC motion, we'll deal with that. We don't want to disrespect the DG. Deal with this issue and finish it, please. No, you don't want to go there.
You are not necessarily with me, honourable Singh.
I won't be with you.
You are not countering the motion that Honorable Gomez.
I have a counter motion that we proceed
that
once
motion,
you deal with my motion. I've said that.
Motion, in any way, today we are about this agenda. We have just simply been reminded that we must proceed with the meeting as planned. And then now, if you are not countering that, and then we need to proceed with the meeting. And then call the DG to the
Chair, to that
for
if you're not dealing with. You're asking for a counter motion, I gave you one.
I'm
countering his motion. We proceed once you deal with the issue that I suggested to you, that we resolve here, and I put the motion that Minister Gigaba must be summoned to this committee. That is the motion I put before you. Now deal with that.
Who supports that motion?
Yes.
You support that motion?
Yes.
Then who doesn't support that motion?
Why didn't ask us to put the motion?
Those that doesn't support the motion, then they are many.
Fine.
We proceed so. Okay. Can you proceed with the meeting then, Honourable?
Okay.
I still want my answers from you as the chair, as we are supposed to receive Gigaba, and your good office told us that Gigaba is not available on the date that we have invited him. So I want to hear from your office, when are you going to invite him, as per the decision of the committee, that's all. Then you can proceed.
No, but I think we are playing games now. We are not becoming serious about ourselves. You have just raised a hand supporting a motion that you must call that minister. Now, yourself. And your motion now has been defeated. But then you still want me to respond on the same issue. Of calling Minister Gigaba. But you have just put that motion that you put a motion that we must call him to come here. And that motion has been defeated. What do you want me to do?
I want you as the chair because...
Because I did not want you to put that motion because it was premature.
I want
that
you,
motion that
chair,
was
I want you to summarize the decision of this committee to say ANC have voted ANC have voted against the minister to come and account about granting an early naturalization of a corrupt family from India.
That is not what you mean.
Thank you very much.
The country must know.
All right. I think we are ready now for the DG.
Sorry,
yeah.
We are ready for the DG.
Chairperson,
yes.
I don't know if you don't see me because I've been lifting my hand for a long time.
You are too short.
I'm aware
that
you're
recording
with
Chairperson. I hope that you are not taking us back to the same issue that
Chairperson,
we have.
Chairperson, what I want to say, you must clear things properly. The first meeting we had, we invited the minister to unfortunately, he was busy, went somewhere else. Now we're still waiting for that. You're supposed to give us the answer.
Can I intervene, Honorable Figler? When you have done this, and then and then you put a motion now for that to happen now, and the motion gets defeated. Whose problem is that one?
It's your problem.
It can't be. It can't be.
So
now I'm just begging for your assistance. Let's get off this particular matter. Then it is not the last meeting. We're gonna have a meeting where we are going to deal with that particular item of naturalization of Gupta family. We are going to organize a meeting. But that's why I'm saying to you. No, listen. That's why I'm saying is that we
are not going to.
We must get all the documentation that we have requested from the department to come, and then when they are in front of us, then we deal with this matter. Today, can we proceed with the meeting? Well, thank you very much. Can I beg you that we proceed with the meeting, Honorable Minister? You support that?
If you are proceeding, it's fine, Chair, because
you've
been prolonging this for a long time. We are all members of Parliament here. We cannot allow our mission to degenerate into chaos.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. And then the DG will proceed.
Honorable Chair and the honorable members, let me first apologize for my voice. Chair, in the interest of time, I will just go straight to my subject. So our best
so that it doesn't become your division DG. Can I ask members that you take as read all the other preambles that are there, the mission, the what, all of those things, so that it gets extended to the ATP. Honorable speaker? Thank you very much. I know that you are on my side. It's only that there are many people in this room. So proceed, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'm in quarter one.
What's happening with the mic? Anybody engineer that can deal with the mic?
In quarter one, Chair, when my chief was about our request for proposal for the improvement of infrastructure in the parts of Asia. So yeah, Chair, there was this was dependent on this one treasurer to give us an approval of a treasurer approval too. However, there was a change of process here because we were looking for a request for proposal as a first step. But realizing the complexity around this and how big this project is, we felt that we should start with the request for qualification. So what it means is that we're going to go to the market and then we get first whatever number of proposed service providers, and then we take them through a process first to evaluate them as done, and then if we're left with a better number, we can agree to, and then it's those which now we go for a request for proposal. So there was that a delay because of that technical issue, which we thought would help us go forward. Make sure that this case, it is winnable based on the evidence we have. Because if now we are not, it just doesn't happen. Suppose when I say anything which we have started, it has caused that a little bit now of the delay, but we will be able to pick up as we go forward. Matter, we've taken it to various processes, and then at the end, the staff stop working on Saturday. But the impact is not only on the Saturdays, even now during the week, we're starting to pick up those problems. That because people don't want to work an extra 1 minute from the time of the closure. Then now that is the impact now. And as it culminated on the 15th of June, but it has been coming. So in this year, we were faced by that. So the target which we set up at that time was based on working on Saturdays and on that. So that is the impact which we have with the two targets. As we are looking at it now, and said that that matter is not resolved as we speak. We want to say to the committee up front, there is a possibility, which is the probability is too high, that this project will have to be successful. So I think I must put those two up front on that issue. But it's something if we are trying to deal with it at the end, I will explain what we are trying to resolve. The other one was the matter of us wanting to discontinue the green barcoded ID book, which enabling that has got problems now, because what we wanted was that as now we are able to push the rollout of the smart card, we want to stop the green ID book. have particularly got a challenge now in the rolling out of the smart cards, then the stopping of the drilling people and the Congress issue now on it. So when we're continuing with this feasibility study, then we have to now go a little back now and look at it. But what is the impact of the one above on what we're trying to do on the other? So it's something which we still come up with, as we know that we are looking at issues of working with the and as well as issues of the mobile. So now even on the mobile, we have the challenge now in terms of the spec, but we are still going to be able to push that one and see how we can conclude and the one with the mobile solutions I've talked about. Yes, we did go out and tell the chair on this one, and the service provider did submit their bids, but unfortunately, those bids could not meet what we were looking for. So we really want to take an approach which says, we want us to meet the target. There's a point in the service provider which is there, which at the end of the day will not make us to achieve what we want. So we're to really start the whole process, and we will seek now the service of the CSIR to help us maybe in developing that spec in a manner that it will be easy for the service providers. For the current mobile solution which we have, is the one which is in the only thing that is like it gets up. Now when they could not meet that, we had to send this thing back. So, on the immigration side, I'm sure they were a little bit wanting to go a little bit fast. As we know that we have approved now the white paper on so at the end, we want now to come up with a review, a new. I want to make it clear, not an amendment, but I want to come up with a new immigration and a refugee act based on our white paper. So what we are doing here now is to come up now with just an online structure on how we're going to deal with this. So the assessment has already been so we'll be able now to catch up on that one. So what time gets announced that it's only those eight packets, but out of the eight, we are saying the two we have a challenge for us going forward as we have this. Maybe the second jump to what we want to prefer to see. What is the impact of this picture? What we are trying to do is that in the negotiation table, we were proposing now to have a level of social compensation once off type of process. But for
fund the SPP in the 1718. But when this thing now comes out and needs some funding, it means that that's not just one. We have approached National Treasury to request additional funding just to deal with that. So the meeting of the adjustment estimates to date report was that I think it's running on the 14th of September. So maybe after that we will get an answer. Either it is or it is not. I'm saying now these protectors are so big and now affected by that because the way we set up targets is the number of computers, the number of days, and all that. So if now we don't have those data that got an impact. So we were able to count in the target of 3 million which we have for the smart card. Just taking out the Saturday. Something which we are working on. So I'm sure by the next, when we come in the next quarterly report, it will be clear on this. So with that, Chair, I will hand over now to the CFO to deal with the budget cuts.
Okay. I think all of the members, the presentation that we had last week, I think on the finances was something like what we need. The promise that they will get the finances on, I hope that the copy that we receive is going to be here. It should be able to collect a slide in a similar slide. There was a big number that we were missing there. In the copy.
Thank you, Chief. Chief, you've been so long. I send a good morning to everybody and to apologize for that submission on slide 39. The provinces were left out of the service expenditure side. If I can go to slide 2. Okay, I'll try and follow, emulate DG's example and try and be quick if it's all right with you.
It's all right.
Thank you, Chair.
You need to control the things now.
Just to give you the picture. Overall, at the end of the first quarter, our savings are 27.7%. Citizen Affairs Program 2 is sitting on 31.8%. I'm on 532%. And that is because of the self-financing. Chair, as you know, we did our self-financing in January. And we're spending, at this point, we're spending against no budget. So once we get the self-financing money, we generalize that expenditure correctly, and then the spending patterns for citizen affairs will be better. On economic classification, too, this is, if you look at compensation of employees, we are 34.5%. DG has already highlighted the pressures on compensation of employees. We also haven't paid bonuses and notches and that kind of thing. So if we have to pay that once-off allowance for keeping Saturdays open, we may have problems with our compensation of employees, but we will manage that. We're still within the ceiling, and we're managing it carefully to ensure that we stay within the ceiling. Goods and services, Chair, the 33% is because of the self-financing. I'm not going to go there again. Households, Chair, this is a, we come here every year, and this time of year we say to you we have 153% spent on households. We generalize this expenditure as soon as we have savings, Chair, because it's difficult for us to budget properly for households, given the unpredictability of who's going to resign when. Chair, I may then may go on. There are narratives that explain what happened, so let me go again to slide 37.
No, don't jump in before.
Okay, sorry.
Don't jump in before the first figures. I think it is somebody you must reinforce what the DG was saying.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, so Chair, the first bullet put it on page 34. It's our compensation of employees spending at 24.5%. A linear projection will be 25%. So we received this letter, the old letter, the letter from finished in June 2016, not in full post, which we didn't do. We ensured that we stayed within the ceilings, we did not pull any post, we abolished certain posts, and then we made sure that we now within the ceiling. We prioritized a certain number of posts, so 614 posts, and we pulled 17-18 here. These are the posts DG is talking about, where he says these posts, the prioritized posts, as well as the natural attrition posts, where somebody resigns or a person dies, those posts are part of these posts which we are now going through the process of appointment but not issuing the offer letters pending the outcome of the NTF decision on the 14th of September. So that's the situation there.
Okay, Chair, proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Slide number 37, on page 37, slide 37. The issue is on 59, it's the one with the problems with civic services, but this is just a breakdown of the extended program level. This is administration. Chair, most of the programs are spending according to plan, so it's, some are doing better than others, some are higher than others. Property is at 50.8%. So this is as a result of some invoices we received, we paid in the new financial year. Then there are a 0% against financial services on the self-financing side, property self-financing. It's a self-financing issue, we do not have a budget here, so once we have it, those figures will change. But at this point in time, Chair, so if there's no problem, except for property and legal in program one from the expenditure point of view, where we're under pressure. The next slide, slide 38, explains the high spending items. It's property and legal services, statutory invoices which we receive at the end of the financial year. We exhaust basically our legal services in the current year. So the slide that was problematic is slide 39. There was one item missing called provinces, so if the members do not have that figure of provinces or the line item for provinces and self-financing, your figure would not have valid. So there's a separate breakdown also for provinces. The provinces, if you look at the spending for the provinces, they are all on target. They are really dead on target. They are close to 25% or just below or just about 25%, but there's a separate slide on that one. So Chair, if our members have seen this slide, then I'm happy that this is the corrected slide. Let me then go to provinces. Okay, Chair, as I said, the provinces, all of them, if you look at the linear spends, they're spending very nicely. None of them seem to be under pressure, but clearly there's not money lying around or floating around unallocated. We do not have unallocated reserves and that kind of thing. So from an expenditure point of view, this is looking good from a provincial side. Self-financing, Chair, this is just the expenditure. We have spent 271 million rand of the self-financing. We have budgeted just over a billion rand as self-financing expenditure. So once we get that, we should see there. So if you take 271 mil times 4, you're going to get close to our car financing expenditure figures as well. Revenue shares, we have not allocated our revenue, so our revenue figures are low, so we have received significantly more than this, but this is what's captured at the system. So most of our revenue is aligned to the 20 times the business euros to these items and that, and then our reports revenue will also be better. Chair, then I also added two slides on 30-day payments at the request of the committee. Our 30-day payments is an audit issue for us. It's a matter that's receiving serious attention. We are not at 100% yet, Chair. So the provinces in general do better than us. I'm on slide 45. We are currently sitting at 96.64% of paying invoices. We are pushing that. The problem seems to be ahead of us, and that's slide 46. We have reviewed these reports on a monthly basis to follow up all our invoices to make sure our payments are paid. I don't want to leave the impression that we're not paying our invoices. We're just not paying all our invoices within 30 days. We have brought down our credit payment rate from 35%. There's still room for improvement. We need to get to 100%. That is the presentation there from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Is there anything you want to say about what the financial officer said?
Yes.
We are happy. Let's carry the mandate. Okay. Now, thank you very much. I'm sure all of you members have questions to raise. Can we try and make sure that by 11:30, then we are through with the department so that we get to IEC. We are going to take IEC as well as DPW together in that. And then with the department, let's take them on now. Nisi, Speedland.
Just want to know, when are we going to address that challenge once and for all? Because service delivery must go to all our people, even to those who are in rural areas, because these mobile units are specifically for those provinces that are vast, like Mpumalanga and KZN. So people have got a challenge to go to far away town so that they can be able to access home affairs offices. I also need clarity from the department regarding the 402 cases and what is the plan in place to improve this rate of misconduct. The last one, Chair, is around the revenue. I've checked that and I've seen that the revenue for the first quarter, that is for 2017, is significantly less than the same period in 2016. What might be the cause? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Fidel. I now see you, your caller.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now you just keep on ignoring me. And Chairperson, my question is going around the green part for the ID. Because when we did oversight, I believe in the Eastern Cape, they focused more on the green part for the ID. Then we wanted its community. So what are we doing about the green part? The second question, Chair, is why is the self-finance expenditure being provided via the DHS to GPW when it has not been the same allocation for several years? How far is the schedule target going to be improved by the Port of Entry, where the department is able to roll out EMCS to all 72 ports by 2018? How long before a service provider is appointed for a live culture mobile solution and the challenges facing by mobile units in the province? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Thomas.
Unfortunately, we are receiving this presentation while we have not received the presentation from three outstanding provinces, Chair. And if you remember very well, I have raised the issue and you just ignore it. This is the problem because we want neutral chairperson in this committee. When a member raises a question, it must be answered. And nevertheless, DG, I think the first speaker have also covered me in terms of my issues because I wanted to understand. If I remember very well, the DG Mabuso was there. And most of the members after the presentation were saying, I don't think we must interact with these provincial managers because most of them in that presentation, DG, they are saying, we don't have power. We have allocated HQ, the head office, the national office of our challenges, the one that was also mentioned by Member Minister regarding those mobile units. In one province, I can't remember if it's Northern Cape or Northwest, out of 8 mobile units, they were saying that it's only 2 that is happening. Definitely show that they also have an effect on the working of home affairs in the province. So the question that I have, what are you doing when provinces are having such challenges? Because we must always guide against those challenges that will automatically have an effect on the people on the ground. On page 11, DG, vacancy rate. I don't know if did I hear you correct to say that we have achieved a target of 2% or something. Because my understanding is that while we have these people who are acting in departments, I thought it's one of the nightmares to the DG. We don't want these people because it means that the work of the department is also being disturbed because we don't have people. So if the department is saying we have reached their target, it's also confusing. I thought you were having a nightmare together with you to say that the treasure department must also make sure that we allocate more money to the department in order to have proper staff to carry the job. The other issue that I wanted to raise with you is this issue of, you always mention, even the provinces and the case for the committee, this issue of union. The department is trying to have people to work on Saturdays because the unions are also fighting that one. So I don't find any solution that the department is coming with. So maybe if you have answers around that because it's also disturbing the work of home affairs regarding that issue. So the immigration service teaching. Well, last time when the minister was there, unfortunately I have never seen you with the minister since she took over. When she was here, we spoke about the immigration service and we proposed as a committee to say that, Minister, maybe we need a separate presentation from the department to understand exactly what is happening. We understand that there are court cases regarding this issue. And as well, you are also mentioning that in your presentation, there are things that you didn't achieve on the immigration office. And you are mentioning that we want to not even to amend, we have to start afresh in terms of the act. And since you mentioned that there is also a delay in part of the ministerial approval. So now, what is the way forward? When are we going to have this thing to be tabled in front of Parliament? Yeah, let me just stop the chair. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Most of my questions have been asked, but maybe some partly. I also have a very energy concern about this the information of this green card, legal delete of this green card, cover by COVID, I think. Yes, I understand also that it is a very promised. But my concern is not to have an indefinite period, to have an indefinite period. Can we have a tentative time frame so that even if you are still having problems with the delay of the smart card, but there must be a tentative time frame so that at least to work towards a tentative time. That's to open it, that's it indefinitely. It also makes a problem. On page 23, this continues overspending on household, and it is continuing. Is there no better plan to deal with this instead of saying, if I understand that you said that you have a plan for now, but this plan seems to me as if it is not working. Can't it? Because if we still have a plan for the already overspending that, what can you do in future so as to curb this problem? So that you have a plan, a future plan. Also, I also have this question, which was asked by Honorable Robert on the issue. My question was to say, is there a positive response? And you said that in a way forward. Then you have and I just want to say what you said about the issue of the working hours. Because if you want to speed up this problem of the registration of pets, we must take into cognizance that you have positive a response from the union that will assist in the working hours, even on the overtime issue. Also, on the case of the reiterate, I also had a problem because, as you are saying, that there are so many acting. It is worth DG that even one of the managers is a professional manager at the same time, is a business manager, but at the same time, now, look at that overload. We think that we can really show that there can be performance there when a person is got that dual responsibility. If you can just really check for tell us why, that to me that is essence, especially that one. Yes, most of them are acting, but it was worth that the other one is got that dual responsibility, which to my understanding, it will also have an impact on service delivery.
Thank you very much, Honorable. My concern is on the immigration. You will recall, Chairperson, that in our meeting with the provincial managers, misalignment in terms of allocation of resources in these offices. For instance, there are offices, there are areas that do not even have a migration officer or office. And migration officer. Now, my concern is that how do we ensure that we are implementing our mandate as we supposed to be. Coming to the other resources, the issue of vehicles, distribution of vehicles to some of these areas, more especially in the district offices, you'll find that there is a district office that does not even have a vehicle. Others have many vehicles, others do not have vehicles. So that is a serious concern. The other issue, I think what is lacking, Chair, in this report, I was requested in the next meeting that when we get to the immigration affairs, must also be recorded the number of permanent resident applications that have been participated in that particular quarter, because there is a target, a financial year target that has been planned, a certain percentage. So I think the next report should also indicate that. And then the other area of concern, the issue of the number of business general work that has been completed within 8 weeks in a particular quarter, because there's also the type in the national budget speech of the treasurer or the minister of finance. And then the other issue is the issue of those that are supposed to be adjudicated applications of the critical skills visa that should be adjudicated within a period of 4 weeks, processed and adjudication within a period of 4 weeks. So I'm just requesting that information in the next meeting, because it is not clearly indicated in this report, and I think we need to have that information based on the targets that were indicated in the budget speech of finance. The other issue is, I think the CFO has raised the issue on savings of the on cell phones, but there's also an issue of labor contracts as well as the property business sector, and then there's also a suggestion that there's going to be savings on working tax is expected to have savings in ICT. So we need to know what is the data currently on that area. And then the issue of the banks, because there was also that indication that if we are working with those four banks, there will be a at least it will also help in reducing the workload of the department. So if you can get the information on what is the current status on that chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair, I'll deal only with those ones that have not been raised. I just want to make this one comment from the beginning, and perhaps maybe DG can help provide some guidance. I kind of get the impression that, having listened to the presentations from the provinces over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks or so, the picture somehow doesn't look the same. It seems to be like a mismatch between when we experience presentations from the provinces and when we get these type of quarterly reports from the national leadership of Home Affairs. Somehow there is a mismatch between the two. The one doesn't support the other, and more so the national report doesn't appear to support what's actually going on in the province. If I can put it more crudely, it's like watching a horror movie when the provinces come here, and it's like watching a love story when you guys get here. It's a completely different picture altogether. Perhaps, maybe, you know, it has something to do with the format of these reports, but it really doesn't match the two. Let me give you one example. We had in Mpumalanga province in Kenya a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, 5 out of the 11 mobile units have lost our operation. And last year, the same picture was there, 5 out of 11. So in an entire year, nothing has happened between that 12 months to fix those other 6 mobile units. The same thing happens in almost every province. Has got mobile units that are sitting parked somewhere that are not being used. So essentially what that means is that it feeds directly into the department's inability to provide the kind of efficient service that you want to achieve in your strategic objectives. Now, I know you're going to tell me the problems with PETA, but I can't tell those people out there in KwaZulu-Natal the story of the PETA. They don't know. it does worry me that the senior management of Home Affairs know these things, they see it, and you report on it year on year, quarter after quarter. I don't get the impression that some of those things are dealt with. And granted that there are many objectives that are achieved, but not all of them speak directly to the man on the street who experiences face-to-face contact with the Home Affairs officials. The people in the rural communities, for example, who are unable to access the Home Affairs office quite easily, and those mobile units are the ones that make the difference. So it's that kind of thing that I'm referring to. A massive mismatch between the two. Chair, one of the things that we've also experienced from many of the offices is this increasing phenomenon of photo swapping in the ID or passport applications. And that's the thing about a crook, is very clever. I never even dreamt that you could actually find a way to beat the system, and some of them have actually managed to do that, and I picked up that it's starting to happen more often in many of the offices. Perhaps many is the wrong word to use. It's not as much as what I'm creating the impression, but it is definitely on the increase, and it's happening in a number of offices already. And I just like to hear from the DG Chair, I don't know what plans they're putting in place to try and prevent this from happening and photo swapping. Last week and the week before when we met here, and I wanted to raise it at that stage, but perhaps this is now the right time to raise it. We had officials from three different provinces, and the room was full. You know, all of these tables in the front were full, and all of the chairs in the back were full. And it occurred to me that we had only three people actually presented to this portfolio committee. So you get the provinces coming here with all sorts of staff, and the Tuesday morning, many of them probably going to have to fly down here on a Monday night and stay over and come to the portfolio committee, but only one person really does it. The rest of them don't even say a word. And then I wonder to myself, it must cost us a fortune to bring all of this staff here to the PC portfolio committee, and I don't know what they actually do. And I want to raise that with the DG, because it actually is quite a waste of expenditure. I get it that there might be a need sometimes, that just in case some certain questions come up that need to be answered, I get that. But you know, we've also become accustomed to that questions that are not answered are put in writing, which never gets, I've never seen responses to them anyway. But that's how we normally deal with it. So I'm raising that as a point as far as expenditure is concerned. I don't think that there is wasted expenditure in paying for flights and accommodation for staff of Home Affairs to come to Parliament and really just sit and become observers. They can watch it on the 408 channel, it's cheaper. Doesn't cost anything. Chair, the third point I want to raise is around immigration, and you'll know that I've raised this previously, and I'll keep raising it, is the low number of immigration officers, law enforcement officers, which is a problem. But I won't deal with that part of it. The point I want to make is, notwithstanding the few immigration officers that we've got, the actual number of law enforcement operations, I think, is, in my view, is far too low. Perhaps maybe the DG must explain what exactly is a law enforcement operation. Is it a collaboration between various departments to go out and go and look for undocumented immigrants? Is that what it is? But still, even if that is the case, in my view, it's so far too less when the Home Affairs Department can't tell you exactly how many undocumented immigrants there are in the country. So surely we need to increase the number of those operations if you want to reduce the number of undocumented immigrants. I'm encouraged to see, Chair, that this thing about risks, identifying risks, but what I don't see there is, what do you do with these risks that you identify? Great to identify the risks before they happen, because that's proactive, and I admire that. But we're not getting information about what do you do with it after that. Do you like put systems in place, or is your reporting only half of it? And the last point is the increase in cases of misconduct. If I read it correctly, someone reported 402 cases of misconduct. If that figure is correct, I start to worry. It might be, you can read it from a positive perspective, is that you bring more to try and get the discipline right, which is brilliant. But then that gives, equally gives an indication that there's a problem of discipline in the department. And I don't see the folks on that matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Anyone that wants to speak?
Thank you very much, Mr. President. And then, firstly, I think let me congratulate the department on the country of the payment within 30 days of invoicing. I think it's good for employment, it's good for the economy, and it's good for the country. Please keep it up and perhaps improve, because I see most of the provinces they meet the target. And secondly, there is something missing. Perhaps Honorable Hussein mentioned the issue of CETA and downtime. I think here we need really to distinct to be. To be quantified, because it is quite a concern. People travel long distances only to find that they cannot get their IDs, they cannot get their passports and so forth, because of that downtime by CETA. The department has said that they try and do something about it, which was not within their control, like changing the policy and so forth. I don't know how far you are now. Thirdly, I'd like to know whether you are having a qualified audit this year, you are foreseeing a qualified audit this year, or an unqualified audit going forward. And then with that, I think was the issue of control systems. Control systems in the form of the internal audit, and secondly, on the audit committee. Do you have an audit committee? And then, if so, what is the profile of the audit committee? What is the profile of the internal audit? Is it capable in terms of the audit committee? Do senior members of the department attend meetings of the audit committee? Then another area would be, I think every member of this committee would agree that perhaps we'll have to keep one of our DRR and more resources in terms of staffing. And looking at the issue of Saturday work, it looks like there is something that has to be corrected in terms of the short term, But in terms of the long term, I think there has to be a relationship building project. But after resolving all the short term projects, because of the nature of the dynamics in the department, particularly people working according to the book. And refusing therefore to work on Saturday, or perhaps refusing to work for any time that is not stipulated within the law. And then lastly, the issue of the banks. How far are you you were having a pilot project? How far are you? And then are you confident about the post office bank? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think we would afford the GT an opportunity to respond together with this delegation. And I have picked up, I think, the question that Honorable Members raised about delegation. I think that Honorable Members give oversight over these departmental entities. Sometimes it's important that we get all the answers may not be nice, you know, to be told that no, we don't have the details. The details is there by post, because the person that has the information is sitting at head office, whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, also, but prudency on financial expenditure as well is required. I think it is important as well. There is a balancing act that is required, so that people don't look sheepish here. Then they come here, then they can answer questions. Then people that can answer questions are left behind. But also, of course, is that we can use coming here as a holiday opportunity. Finland?
Thank you, Chairperson. There was one question I wanted to raise. I think it's very important when we do the oversight. I'm not sure the town was back at all, where they had their office that was very clumsy. Now, my question goes around, how is the department relationship with public works? Because I see more of the municipalities are involved with the health department of public works. But now, the public works are supposed to give us, or to help us with the office. Because if you go to that office, you can't go back to that office.
Yeah. Okay, I think it's, we'll get the responses. Honorable members, I just wanted to highlight this as we had the DG talking to me. That target of 70% of misconduct cases submitted to presiding officer for consideration. 70% of misconduct cases submitted to presiding officer for consideration as a target. And then I think we just need to talk to it ourselves, whether it's supposed to be there, it should be pursued or what, because what we have heard is that the officers then tend to comply with the 70% by submitting ill-prepared files to presiding officers, and either end up losing the cases or they end up agreeing that the person is fired. But when the person goes to CCMA or something else, then they find flaws in the process, and then the people are forced to be reinstated. So it's actually self-defeating. It's a target that if it is not done properly, it is self-defeating. It's not a thing. I just create chaos in the human resource. I just feel pity for the human resource manager. You know, it's when you see today, then you are very clear that somebody has done something wrong in the department. You take it to the process, then you suspend the person or fire the person. Then 3 months down the line, CCMA says, no, reinstate that person. You have not done properly. That kind of a situation. But let's just talk to this particular matter. As we have had the DG cry, I think he cried a little bit enough. That it is interesting. It is now forcing them to create another committee of a quality control type committee to ensure that the documentation presented to presiding officers they are complete. But then that is going to affect the 70% because more time will be required now, and some other files may be sent back for further processing and information. So that target of 70% is. It is going to be affected. If it's not affected, the department is going to be affected by ill-prepared files and all that. So we just need to talk to it, and then let's see, because they are introducing a committee, which of course will cost them a lot again to fund it, to exist and to bring the work. But this target is self-defeating. It's affecting the department. And, it's almost like the one that we talked about I think that there was another target that we said it can be removed because it was very, very awkward target. DG, welcome, Deputy Minister. Madam Ken.
Now, and what the report is so extreme, because I'm pushing the
television, because when we speak television, it's also there. Yes, the behavior can be there, but where there's no sense, there's nothing to separate Lesotho to South Africa. What can be done there on that space? That moving in and out of that water, and the low water, even on that river, which to my eyes, assume maybe the river has been water. But now that there's no water, the river are just moving in and out, there is no fence, there is nothing. What is, are we going to do with the fence with that even before the PMA has been in the house? Thank you so much.
Okay, I think you will answer. But generally, Lesotho has got no fence. He said, since the boundaries of it, it's an arbitrary. That's an arbitrary place. That's why other people are taking other people's stock, thinking that it is theirs. They don't even know where the boundary is. They said that doing that in the mountains. And then, that's an unfortunate place. And, but I'm not suggesting that you must start building a building in the South Africa. There is no fiscal boundary. The South Africa, you will not find the fence. You will only probably find the fence closer to the actual port of entry. But generally, on those mountains and the rest, there is no fence that you may find. DG?
No, thanks, Chair. Hopefully, enough time to respond to the question.
I'll have to help us.
This is what is happening, that questions are asked, but we don't have time to respond. And again, there are complaints, and then so many people come, but they don't respond when there is no time. Not when they can't respond. But that doesn't mean that there's time to respond.
Okay.
The questions are not asked. Not now, we've got 10 minutes to respond to all these questions. And I swear that I'm not going to be able to respond to them. Chair, let me start with this issue of a mismatch between provinces and head offices. I really want that to be demonstrated. Because, Chair, we have said in this meeting, the smart card, you are not going to achieve it. I don't know that the provinces came here and said they will achieve the smart card. I think they said no. The mobile solution, we talked about it. What did we say? Because, Chair, you can't fix this Skolokolo forever. That's what we said in this committee, that those mobile sites are a dead end. We're pushing a dead horse. That's why we said replace them with the modern technology. Chair, even if you drive that one which is working, you take it to the schools. The kids look like this and say, I'm not going to take a green ID. Whereas another key has got the smart card. So what is the point for us to invest on something which we're killing it? So that's what I'm saying. Can't say it is a mismatch. But unless our reports are not understood. Because all what we talked about is what is our information is coming from provinces, is coming from ASDAP. So I want just one example to say, your report is not talking to the problem. Let's come to the vacancy reduction. It's us who came to this committee. That's why this committee called National Treasury. It was for what? Was to deal with the issue of filling of the post. So how can now when the province come here and say, I've got a post which is not filled, it says what office does not know about it. So there is no mismatch, Chair, between what is in the provinces. That's why, Chair, we agreed that we don't want to come to the meetings of the provinces. We wanted to run executive out of that. What is going to say? The bridge sits here, the provincial manager present, I look at him, so you're really stopping him. I don't want to be here. So that provinces are free to report what we have. And then, you know, what I'm interested is to check what is this thing which they talked about, we don't talk about. I don't believe there is any. Let's come check to the Honorable Minister about the issue of smart cards. But that's what we started with it. I reported here and say, even what we've achieved on quarter one, what we're going to achieve it going forward. because I'm getting reports from province, is that if I don't issue solar cards at headquarters, they are issued at provinces. I've got that report. I know each and every. I can tell you that in province A, there are only 7 offices which are achieving targets. In that office, there is no office. And the reason, as I've said when I was saying, the issue of not working on Saturdays. Chair, last year, we achieved the smart card over. It was, our target was 2.2. We have achieved 2.6 on smart card. Because what? We didn't have a problem with the working hours. And so I informed the committee about it and say the effect is there. You know, like when you come to the office, people are closing offices at 2 o'clock before the time closes at 4. That's what is happening. That's why I said we have to deal with that matter. And I explained it and say, if the choice which we have, I said, if Treasurer Chair does not approve that amount as the choice which I have between, do I fill the post or do I think that working on Saturday is a priority? And then I said, working on Saturday is a priority. So I was going to remain with Peter. And in 2015, for me, we explained to the committee, when people are acting with no pay, literally not paid, but acting. That's why we escalated that matter to the committee. So that's what we have. And Chair, this issue of CETA, it can't be said population or citizens must not know about it. It is not our responsibility. We don't have the power to deal with it. That's why the committee met with CETA here. And CETA presented to the committee. That CETA is not able to do that. It can now again push back to us and say, no, don't talk about CETA, but do this. Don't have this. I don't have power. Chairperson, if I can go and control the network as a DG of Home Affairs, next week I'll be sitting here and explaining the expenditure. If I'm not alive, if I'm not higher, because I don't have that power. That's why we formed the committee, we tried to go to cabinet to get an exemption from CETA. The committee itself met with CETA here. CETA made promises, not to me, to the committee, and said, we will sort this thing out. If they can sort it out, when we're complaining about it, we're saying, we're at the end of the stick. Because when the offices are down, people don't know about CETA, as you said. They know about Home Affairs. But that's how this thing operates. As long as I've brought that into the attention of the committee, I've never hit them. So that's the issue to us sitting. Chair, I think your point is important. That when we've got four, I just look at the percentage of that and say at Home Affairs, whatever, 983,000 staff members. And then at 402 is about 4.something%. But remember Home Affairs, why we need to be really strict with the issues of discipline. It's like a corruption. You can't get services of Home Affairs anywhere. Therefore, our discipline must be tight. Say we are saying in the department we've got zero tolerance of corruption. We don't care whether 50% of the staff members are on discipline if they are corrupt. That's the message which was sent. And say, because if we don't do that, then it means it will be a fatal ground for corruption and say, hey, this is worried about you, or other people will be disciplined. I mustn't be worried about that. What I must be worried about? Thank you.
kick you out, they will do. So this is number of smart cards. We don't say the market is saturated. There are no people who want the smart cards. But it is this which I was talking about. So that's why now we're talking about that document which you want to prepare. And in it, with the resources, now as we know that cabinet has within what they call now a mandate paper to how provinces can be funded. We did put our input there, and what we are advancing, we're saying if the state does not hold the smart card to every citizen, you never get the benefit of a smart card. Never, until you roll it out. So that's why the green ID book is something we do not want, but at the same time, for a kid who's in the corner of Eastern Cape where there's no office, I can't deny that child with an identity. Because an identity is the key for anything. So that's what we're looking at. I will leave as a topic in self-financing. Biometrics, yes, we are pushing that we have this biometrics in all the our ports of entry. Then the issue of public works, honorable plan, where it's the same thing with Peter. Home Affairs has got no power to go and rent a property. We are going to public works and said we need these offices, they give it to us, they sign a lease agreement, that's all that we can do. So currently I was given that the number is about 95% of properties which we lease from the private property owners to public works. So I don't know when the province says they don't have powers because they've got delegated powers. And I don't think if you've got something which you cannot resolve, you simply say, no, I don't have the power if you've got powers. Provincial managers at the chief director level, there are powers of things which they need to deal with it. They put all those things in that process. So that vacancy rate, what I was saying, explaining this, that there is just a norm. A norm is saying it is impossible, maybe you can be lucky, that as an organization you can have no vacancy. Because people, they resign. I can't sit at the beginning of the year and know why this person and this one won't die, won't resign, won't whatever. But there is a norm to say at least within 10% is an accepted as a norm. Once we exceed that, it shows to you that there is a problem. So what we're explaining here, we're not saying we don't have vacancies. We say our vacancies are still less than the norm, which is 10%. I think it's 4.5% in April and all that. That's all what we're saying, but not that one. Well, the issue of the unions is something which we are working on it, and it's not something which you like or you create it, but it does happen. When it happens, we are dealing with it. And I've said that we are hoping that after this, we'll get the money and then we can go back to the negotiating table. And then the immigration services, what we're talking about here, in our target, as I said, this is the first quarter, the target is that by March 2018, the bills must be approved by the minister. So now it's just a build-up process. So by March 2018, those two bills will be approved by the minister. So that is our target. So households will take the working hours I've talked about. And then let's come to the BMA. BMA is not yet approved. It's just passed by this National Assembly.
is still going to be a long way. The BMA still is at the LCOP now. Next week, we're going to be presenting on the 12th. They're going to advertise the bill for public participation and all that. So probably we are talking about next year what the BMA. But what was the reason for us to propose the BMA? What exactly this problem we're talking about? Home Affairs has got nothing to do with the fences. There is not a problem of Home Affairs where the immigration officer in the port of entry, where that 200 meters there is no fence, there's nothing Home Affairs can do. You must wait for public works to be able to do that. And another fence, that fence is dealt with by two departments. Other the public works, other the Department of Agriculture. That's why we say you can't manage borders in that fashion. What does must be the integrated approach. So once the BMA is in place, it will solve that problem. But when it is not there, it's going to continue like that. If I can go to public works now, say, what about the fence at next to Telebridge? They must say to me, Emma, what we've got a problem about is building schools. Don't tell me about that. So no issue with that. But BMA won't be able to deal with that. Then the misalignment of resources, well, this thing has got a history on it. Initially, there was really split between immigration and civics. And then it says, no, these are the functions of. I remember earlier there was even a 70-30% split between a budget between immigration and civil. That no, you can't split a budget like that. Budget must be split on the objectives of how we are doing. But the legacy issues will be there to say when you say that areas with no immigration officers, I think we're on that. When you said in Home Affairs, we've got 750 inspectorate officials throughout the country. So there are areas where they are not existing. And when we make this example, where we've been comparing with ourselves with other departments and say, if you take police at OR Tambo, only effort, and you can see them that busy. Officers at OR Tambo, about 800 officers in one port of his 800 more than 750 throughout the country. So that's what we're talking about repositioning of the Department of Home Affairs. Maybe we publish that paper, maybe we need to come and make the comments on when you talk about repositioning of Home Affairs, what I'm talking about is exactly that. To say Home Affairs was on the administrative cluster before, but it is part in its core to the security architecture of the state. And once they just understand the funding of it is also going to be different, not to have what we have here. So managers, this distribution of YKs, I mean, they've got those powers to deal with that, but I think it depends on the budget. And the number of permanent residents we do give on page 20, and not that we get the questions properly, but on page 26, we said permanent residents, our target was 85% of permanent residents application was given within 8 months, but we give now what was the number at the last. It was 1687 as against 1701. So in each one, we give the number of how many years were there. And then, then the banks. Banks is one of the principles I need to use. That project, we are still engaged on it. We think that is going to assist us, as the honorable member was indicating. But want to sign the agreement and then roll it out now into the entire country, so something which we are really looking at. Then, this issue of photoshopping is something that I wanted to be sure that both there is a green ID book, there is a smart card, but with the smart card we are quite continuously changing our processes to make sure that, for instance, if you remember before, fingerprints were taken at FLO. But we just changed this. Now you take your fingerprint and the photo in the booth. So that might help us now to say, you are this person, you take the fingerprint at the same time so that it cannot create that possibility. And one of the things which we are looking at now, we are dealing now with AFIS, or they call it now APIS. We want to go through IRIS because the fingerprint is still an issue. Because the finger, I take it there, I can get someone and do all that. But once we do that, so that the camera must only take the picture when that iris compares with that. So it's another level which we'll be going into to be able to deal with that. And then now, law, I think I've explained now this thing of law enforcement. You say we don't have people, that's what I mean. Risk is an important thing. Now we've got a risk committee in the department whereby we take all this risk, we come up with the risk register, and then from the risk register, we're able to say what would be the mitigating factors. We can share with the commitment in another meeting what our risk register looks like and what are we doing with those issues we can bring. And then, payment with 30 days, we're still not happy. Yes, it's 99.96%. So we still want, but we even said to the section, they must interpret that thing correctly, because it doesn't say pay all the invoices. It says pay invoice. Was it that there's no bank account or something? We don't need to pay that. So it's something that we still need to look at it. We can quantify the downtime of street, and we've got those reports. Chair, we are not allowed by law that I cannot disclose the audit report before it is tabled. If I do so, I'll be against the rules of the audit. Even when they give you that report, they write it and say it can only be issued to the public once it is tabled. So we'll be tabling another report before the 30th of September. Then at that point, the committee.
I thought that you were talking about the foresee. If I had information properly, do you foresee some improvement in the audit opinion this coming?
No,
I think that's what he said.
No, in our targets, we know that we are working towards the key
okay.
For Home Affairs, but I can't say what it is now.
Okay.
That's all.
No, then
the audit committee will discuss what is there. And then the issue of post office is the same part as what was dealing with the banks, but as we said that our circuit was set with the banks and then move on. Well, do you have anything you wanted to add? And then to look safely.
Maybe it's just one issue on the mobile tax, that the responsibility to maintain the mobile tax is where was that responsibility was devolved to provinces. The only thing that we do at head office is the issue of the generator services and the IT connectivity on those mobile sites. So I thought that you just mentioned that the PMs actually have that responsibility to maintain those sites. Currently we've got about 115 trucks, which 112 is the old generation sites that we introduced, you know, over 10 years ago. So as DG was saying, that we do not want to keep pouring money on things that, that are not going to be working anymore. We have three new generation mobile trucks. So, but we are waiting for us to finalize the issue of the mobile solution for live capture. Once we've done that, we're then going to be able to take a decision whether we dispose of the old fleet and then bring the new generation trucks on board to ensure that we're able to cover the areas. But by the way, once we have the mobile, we're also not going to be needing trucks because the environment can happen even when you're using a small car to reach out to other areas because the technology will be more portable in order for us to be able to reach out those areas. So basically, that's what we're focusing on. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the question on the revenue, I explained in my presentation that the revenue figures which we project here is as well as being journalized, so we still need to journal to make sure that our full revenue collection for the first quarter is reflected on the system. That process has not been finalized. So in comparison to prior years, we are collecting a slightly little bit more than last year. And we're also reviewing our tariffs. So we'll come to the committee at some point to review the tariffs as well. So that's one of our projects for this year. Then on the self-financing, Chesi, the self-financing mechanism is a mechanism that Chesi allows us to keep some of the revenue we generate for specific purposes. I think I've explained that one before. There's a timing issue, Chesi. We get that money late in the financial year. So we incur at this point against no budget for self-financing items with the understanding and agreement from National Chesi that they'll make good once the adjustment estimate has gone. The solution to that problem is for Chesi to factor in our initial baseline with an amount equal to R1 billion. Then we don't have that issue of the timing. But it also then will take away the incentive for us as a department to make sure that we improve on our revenue collection, increase our revenue collection. So there's an incentive for us to make sure that we exchange. And it's in our interest as a department to make sure that. Ms. Kenya's question, we can address that problem by just doing a journal to make sure that the current expenditure is covered, and then going forward, if we look and see how many people are going on pension, then at least we can cover those cases. But the deaths and resignations are a little bit more problematic, because I'm not easy to predict. On the cell phones, we are participating in the National Treasury transversal contract here. We're driving down cost reductions of at least 50% on cell phones. We introduced it, the soft locking mechanism, for the first time in August.
I think you have performed, and you have performed very well. Thanks. We need a minute or two, dear.
Well, if you don't mind, Chair, I think one of the biggest challenges for us, and I know that you measure us against all of the targets, but I think that the most important target would be that we try and phase out the green energy. I think on that score, at this stage, we should be a bit worried, because you would recall when we launched the Smart ID that we had set ourselves an informal target of about 5 years to ensure that there was total coverage. Part of the problem of running a dual system as we are now for such a long period of time is the security risk, because what happens, of course, when you have a green ID book, you tend to have a very easy process of conversion, because we understand that the initial stages of security checking and vetting has been done. Your biometrics are already captured onto the system. Now, if we continue with this parallel system and you still are issuing green ID books every day, and the security level at which you are issuing new, first time issued green ID books is at a lower level than your smart ID card, then you are looking for trouble. And so for me, that would be, if you wanted to prioritize these targets, It would be that aspect that one would want to prioritize. And as DG says, if we do get allocated some money, where would we want to prioritize spending that additional amount of money? It can't be that we're going to do it in terms of filling in vacancies. It has to be to extend our ability to issue out this month's cards. And so thank you, Chair, for that. And I do apologize for coming late. We were in a cabinet committee and our minister wasn't there either, so I had to be present. But thank you. I will continue sitting through the other interviews. Thank you.
Now, thank you very much. I think we really appreciate the efforts of the Department of Home Affairs. And like as we used to say, honorable members, that this is the one department that is actually interacting with everybody that is a citizen in this country and everybody that has decided to visit us and be within our boundaries. So the challenges are huge. And I think up to now they have tried to perform to their best, but also it's the inappropriate funding of the Department of Home Affairs brings a myriad of problems, issues of the vacancy rate, the trust, the mobile trust that we're talking about, the state of offices, and all sorts of things. And then they really does arise because of this problem of inappropriate funding of the department, which we have tried to entertain with the treasury, which we just have hopes that treasury will understand, or possibly the current minister, who happened to be a minister of Home Affairs, will understand the plight a little bit better and come to the rest. But I think it's all the problem, many of the problems, if not 99%. It is due to that inappropriate funding. And we will continue to make noise about the acting positions and all that, but that's where our challenges come from. Can we then agree that Home Affairs, we are done with you, then let's hear the new kids on the block on quarterly expenditure report, the IEC. We used to get them only on annual report. This time around, then I think we just have to shift to the next seat so that you don't get disadvantaged by the table.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then as much as you are able, then you'll just save us a few minutes so that we also get the government to work. Also, their first time as well on quarterly report. I think they want to know the biggest issue.